it's going down, and you're invited.
Let's see it.
Fuck the police!
Okay, we're joined here today with somebody that's involved in the hashtag Stop Spencer actions in Michigan. Do you want to just introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, hey, my name is Eddie. I've lived in Ann Arbor my whole life, and I've been doing activist stuff for the last 2-3 years or so. And, yeah.
Well, let's just take everybody to the beginning. How did this all start? I'm sure you all saw what happened in Gainesville, Florida, where Spencer came and spoke. The university put massive amounts of resources out for him to speak. Some of the groups that were involved in not only the planning, but also were doing security, as evidenced by an operational document that was leaked and was also admitted to be from the organizers from the National Policy Institute, involving groups like Patriot Front and Anti-Com, ended up trying to kill several counter-protesters at a bus stop later. So I'm just curious how this all kind of ended up at your doorstep.
Well, actually, our attention on Spencer coming to universities predates Florida. Like, before that, he was trying to speak at MSU, and MSU, amazingly enough, refused him. They're fighting their legal case right now, and so a lot of people at U of M were showing solidarity with the people who were doing work at MSU, which is in Lansing, and it's like about an hour away. And so, yeah, our attention was on that, and then, yeah, Gainesville happened, and a lot of people over here had eyes on that. When we found out that Richard Spencer had requested to speak at University of Michigan, we were all kind of like trying to figure out, like, okay, did somebody invite him? Because Charles Murray came to speak recently, and like College Republicans invited him. So our first like reaction, I think, was like, okay, who? But no one invited him. He just requested to speak. And then after that, I think I can only speak for the groups that I'm in, but we were kind of doing our own little things, and we only decided like before Thanksgiving to like start reaching out to other groups and try to like coalition build. And at that point we found out that a lot of people had been reacting to that, and a lot of people had a lot of different ideas. So again, like as just one person, I have kind of like a narrow perspective on how this all happened, but right. Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Charles Murray wrote a book several decades ago called The Bell Curve, which essentially argues that people of different races have predetermined different IQs. Basically, if you're white, you're smarter. If you're black, you're stupid. And moreover, you're more prone to crime. And this kind of had a role in pushing forward policies like broken window theory and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
How did the university respond to Richard Spencer coming? Because there's kind of a thing where they start off by saying no, or it seems like they're going to say no, and then National Policy Institute comes back and says, well, we're going to sue you.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what happened. okay. So the university was treading like really, really lightly. At least the administration was treading really lightly. I'm pretty sure the general response from like everybody was like, no. But the university kind of was seeing like what happened at MSU and how they were getting sued. Now the National Policy Institute was like fighting a legal battle with them. And I guess they felt that they didn't really want to make any strong statements. And I think that their lack of a stance is really what like galvanized everybody else to be like, hey, like the administration so far isn't giving them a hard no. And that was kind of alarming to everybody, I think.
Right. And it's just bizarre because some institutions are denying him, but then others are bending over backwards to allow him to speak. So it just seems very strange, like this kind of legal dance. Like why are they rolling out the red carpet in some places, but in other cases they're saying, no, we don't want you here.
The mind, it boggles.
Right. Well, do you just want to talk a little bit about just how students like kind of came together across various groups and started to get ready for this week of action, which has been happening all this week? There's been walkouts. There's been people sitting in. There's been large actions. Can you just talk a little bit about how that all kind of came together?
So U of M is pretty big. Like, U of M is huge. And there are a lot of groups who have a hand in this that are super wide. Like, we have a pretty big united front here. Like, it's on the Facebook page, but off the top of my head, I know that we've got, like, Students for Justice, Rad Fund, Campus Anti-Fascist Network, Students Ally for Freedom and Equality, Collective Against White Supremacy, Huron Valley S&D, which isn't, like, a university group. They're a community group, but they're very in it. I've got your back. College Democrats, amazing enough. The DSA, YDSA, Jewish Voice for Peace. I know I'm omitting a few, but there are a lot. And everybody kind of had their own ideas for how best to react to this. And the group that I work a lot with, Rad Fund, we kind of started reaching out to people, and other groups were reaching out to us and other places. And we worked out a date for maybe like a few people from each group to come to a meeting where we talked about like general ideas, set some ground rules about like respecting diversity of tactics and respecting perspectives on like how best to deal with this. And then we talked a lot about like teach-ins. Someone was talking about a die-in, but that never happened, and walkouts and stuff. And then we were like, okay, well, let's just consolidate this into like 1 week where we really work on engaging the students and empowering the students and getting the word out. And so, yeah, as far as the week has gone, the week itself, the problem is that this meeting happened like right before Thanksgiving break. So we were like, okay, well, great. Everybody's about to leave. So we decided it's going to happen the week after Thanksgiving break, which has been now. And for the week after break, people are surprisingly energetic. Like, the week started off strong. We had like our sign making thing, and we had a lot of flyering get done. Some people were wheat pasting, some people were flyering, diversity of tactics. Yeah, speak out went well, walk out went well, strike went well. We had a sit-in in the LSA office, which was fantastic. And tonight is the community conversation where we're going to facilitate like small groups to like talk about reactions and feelings and just general stuff that's going to go on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's really cool how there's like a real diversity of different things. There's like discussions, there's educational events, and there's, you know, there's lots of action happening. I'm just curious if you can just talk a little bit about some of the bigger things that have happened, like the walkout. I mean, the student strike, people were encouraged not to go to classes, and then there was also a sit-in. If you could just kind of go over a little bit with people. I know you just talked a little bit about it, but just kind of tell people what happened. There was some large numbers out there.
Yeah, there were. I was really impressed. The walkout went really well. We all came to the Diag, which in Ann Arbor, we've like on the campus, we've got this square in front of the biggest library, and we had like hundreds of people come out and ditch their classes, which was really cool. We led some chants. Some people spoke about what was happening, why we were out here, about student activism, calling out the faculty for not doing anything. Calling out the administration for not doing anything. Some of the faculty have been fantastic. And after that, we walked just kind of across the Diag area. We call it the Diag. It's like this park sidewalk area in like smack in the middle of campus. And we went in some buildings and we occupied some big like hallway areas and did some chants. We then went around to what the students call the fishbowl. It's this enormous, like open space full of computers. And it's going down like on the Facebook page. I saw you guys shared the our live stream from that was the fishbowl, that big area with all the computers. That was the fishbowl. And we did some chanting there, disrupted some people studying. Some more people spoke. We left. We were chanting. We'd already decided all of our chants beforehand, and we had some really good ones. Some of them came from people who visited from Detroit, and some of them we had come up with first. The classic, like, no Spencer, no KKK, no fascist USA. How do you spell murderer? AAPD. Every nation, every state, punch a Nazi in the face. The classics.
Right.
Is what it is. Yeah. And yeah, that was the walkout. It was really great, and it ended in a rally. We ended up on the steps of the Michigan Union, which is this big, like, student space. White people roadblocked. It was great. We had some white allies who were just so down for the cause, and we made it clear. We were like, okay, blocking roads is for white people. You guys can do that. And so, and they were super down. They were like, yep, yep, ready to go. And it was great. It was a nice, like, small show of solidarity. That was the walkout. That was really, really great. The student strike, I don't actually know how many people went on strike or did the strike, because again, like, U of M is so huge. Some professors canceled classes. I know that in the residential college, they canceled a lot of classes. Like, STEM was disappointing, to say the least. yeah, the strike was cool. What was angering to us about the strike was the fact that Dean Martin of the LSA, the Literature, Science, and Arts, sent out an email to a lot of the faculty when he, I guess he heard that some professors were canceling their classes. And, like, some GIs were canceling classes, and he was like, okay, well, we expect everybody to hold their classes. And so, so we sat in his office, like a lot of us. We started with about 30 people, and then by the end of the day, we had, like, at least twice that. There were a lot of people in that office, and he came out of his, like, little, I don't know. Like, I want to say that all of it was his office, but, like, he has his office, and then he has this other whole area that's, like, small, or that's bigger, and that's outside his, like, private office door, I guess I should say. So he came out of his private office, and we kind of, like, heckled him for a couple minutes, and we're like, all right, well, no, we didn't heckle him. Our questions were very, very fair. We asked him about his email and about why he didn't support the strike, to which he kind of responded with, like, a foot in mouth response, but, like, oh yeah, you know, like, I support the strikes, but it's like, and yet you're not allowing people to cancel their classes. And, yeah, we stayed there. We camped out. One of our organizers got out a megaphone and started singing, like resistance music from, like, the civil rights movement. And, he was like, oh, it's too loud. And him and, his assistant, I guess, who was also helping him, like, field the questions, walked out of the room, and they just didn't come back. And so we just kind of camped out there until about 4 p.m., ordered pizza and everything, put signs up on all of the windows, like, on the inside and facing the outside, chilled out, did some homework, sat in, had a lot of really cool, productive discussions about, like, stuff that's coming up next. And then at about 4 p.m. we dipped, and that was the student strike.
Well, did anything happen today, or there's something happening later tonight, you said?
Oh yeah, no, there was stuff happening today. The Leo bargaining rally. So like, Leo is our lecturers union, and they're in a bargaining process with the university for, like, better pay and everything. And that was, like, a solidarity action. They've been doing these every Friday for a few weeks now. And so we were like, okay, well, on Friday, why don't we just do something for Leo? Because we support unions, like, we support all that. And then tonight, in about an hour, actually, there's the community conversation, and that's going to be held at the grad center at Rackham. We're going to have, like, conversations facilitated and stuff like that.
I think a lot of people listening to this will wonder why, after Gainesville, you know, there were a handful of people that obviously actually came out to listen to Spencer, about 25 to 30, maybe, of, you know, obvious alt-right trolls that came to see him. You know, seems like about half of those were actually from not only off campus, but from out of the state. You know, the people that ended up shooting at the people at the bus stop were actually from Texas.
Yeah.
So, and if you factor into the fact that, you know, the last time he spoke, people that on paper tried to kill counter-protesters that may or may not have been students, but definitely were locals from the area. How can a university justify bringing someone that not only doesn't have that many people that actually want him to speak, like, physically want to hear what he has to say, but also, like, has proven track record of putting students in danger?
You know, that's really what we're wondering. That's, like, that's the big question right there. There's a lot of, like, concerning stuff that was happening with Florida. Like, I know that they had, like, snipers on their roof stuff, and the people who were, like, shooting into the crowd, which, again, if we want to, like, bring up all of the safety concerns that are, like, besides all of the studies that show, like, you know, like, no, like, people who go to Nazi rallies actually go and beat up people later, like, beat up POC later and beat up, like, they actually go and, like, they commit acts of violence elsewhere, like, worse than beating people up and going out and, you know, XYZ, LMNOP. And with stuff like that, it's like the university is so, especially here, I feel so like bureaucratic and so establishment. Regent Mark Bernstein here said this bullshit thing about how, you know, like we could do the easy thing and we could deny him a platform, but, you know, then we wouldn't be upholding free speech. And that's kind of the crux of their argument, is the whole free speech thing. Like, oh, free speech, free flow of ideas. This university is for everyone, which, I mean, I'm pretty sure that by definition, the fastest way to make a place not for everyone is by inviting a Nazi and, like, you know, like giving those ideas validation. Mm-hmm. But the university really doesn't care about that. Like, President Schlissel does not care about that. The regents do not care about that. And I think that they just don't want to field that court case.
And even still, I mean, MPI will have to fork out probably $10,000 or some large amount of money to have Spencer speak. So it's not like this is just some accessible thing where they're going to, like, you know, open it up for, you know, the faculty union to have a big meeting, or just somebody, you know, in the community to, like, to give a talk about something. I mean, this isn't like, it's not like a resource that everyone has access to. I mean, there's a reason why that they are allowed to speak there, because they have access to money and they have lawyers that are willing to sue.
And I mean, do we even know, like, who gives money to the university, really? Like, who do we know about, like, what, how much do we know about, like, the donors and, like, what they're like and what their politics are? Right.
Well, how are you all feeling after this week? If Spencer, it seems like he will speak at the university in some capacity or try to. How are people feeling if and when it is decided that he will come to the campus?
Well, I'll tell you what. I definitely cannot speak for, like, the entire campus, obviously. I know that there's a lot of fear. And I know that because, like, at the Speak Out, people talked a lot about, like, how afraid they were and about a lot of the really fucked up shit that they've experienced on campus. And I will say, though, that there is a lot of energy and there is a lot of unity that was fostered throughout this whole movement. Like, I toted a megaphone for, like, 2.5 hours on Wednesday with, like, a white girl from College Dems, and I never thought that I would do that before. But, like, we have a really, we have a united front, and we're spending a lot of time with each other, and we're spending a lot of time, like, fighting it, and we're spending a lot of time trying to wake up the regents, and that's really snowballed into something much bigger than it was, say, after the meeting the week before Thanksgiving. We all are being really supportive of each other. We're all being really respectful of each other. I know that unofficially we all have different visions for how this is going to turn out and how, like, what we think could happen, and we all have different anxieties. I really don't want to, I really don't want to think too much about, like, what if Richard Spencer does come here, and then, like, a lot of the hate groups that surround, like, the Ann Arbor area, like Howell, which has, like, a lot of KKK, is about, like, I don't even know. It's, like, less than an hour away, somewhere between half an hour and an hour away. And then there's a lot of that in Michigan. And I don't know, I feel like that's on people's minds about stuff that's going to happen.
Would you say that people feel empowered after this week? You're saying people are kind of coming together. Does that help with any potential fear people have around who might show up if Spencer does speak, or? Is it a
I'm sure it does.
Cool.
I'm sure it does. We have, like, solidarity and mutual aid up the wazoo over here. Like, it's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just seeing something online, I think kind of ties into our conversation about him being invited to speak. But there's a group of striking farm workers in San Quentin in Mexico. They're on strike against the supplier for Driscoll's Berries. It's a big berry supplier. If you go into stores like Save Mart or Safeway, you might have seen them. But they actually applied for a visa so they could come and speak in universities in California, and they were actually denied. So it's interesting that the people that, you know, pick produce that are on strike cannot come into the United States to speak at a public funded university, but we can have people like Richard Spencer come out.
Well, free speech isn't real. I mean, like, I'll tell you what, at the Tuesday Speak Out, that was like something that was broadly discussed. The fact that like free speech is not real. Free speech is not free. And that was part of like, that was one of our teach-ins too. I believe that was, oh gosh. I believe we had the teach-in on Tuesday and Wednesday, like two different people cover that topic from like different angles. Like free speech is not real, and we definitely do not have like equal protection under anything at all. Like even like the college Dems and like a lot of the more moderate people have like, we're kind of all in agreement on a couple things about like free speech not being free and like stuff like that.
Right. Well, whenever the state small wants to censor you, it can. You know,
yep.
If you're relying on an institution that's based on power and it wants to shut you down, it will. But that's the thing. It's like denying Spencer from speaking on campus is not denying him the ability to speak or share his views. I mean, he's still very much able to do that in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say? Is there a way that people can support what's going on in Michigan? If people are listening to this and they're in the area, is there a way that they can kind of follow what's going on so they can potentially come out and support?
There are a few things. Well, Stop Spencer is on Facebook. It's just Stop Spencer at the University of Michigan, I think. You can follow us there. There's a lot of information there about like things that people can do to support. If you're in the Ann Arbor area, people can come to events. Even if you're not a student, and there is a lot of like outside student or not like, okay, outside of the university, there's a lot of organizing happening. Another thing that I want to say, just to put it out there, is that this is largely like a woman of color driven thing. I'm a dude, I'm in it. There are like a couple other dudes in it, but like by and large, like there's like, it's mostly women, and like the women of color really are the ones who are doing like all of like the heavy work and putting in like a lot, putting in like super long hours and late nights into it. I mean, we all are, but like them especially are like just running stuff. And like, it's been so inspiring this week to see just all of that from everybody, but especially the women of color. And that's just like one thing that I want to put out there about all of this. Another thing is that there is a general understanding, while officially the goal of this is to put pressure on the administration to stop Spencer from coming, we kind of already know what the administration is going to say. They're probably going to let him speak here, which is why this week and this whole thing we're pulling is just as much, if not more, about empowering students. Oh no, like saying, you know, no, you can walk out of class. No, you can take the streets. No, you can block traffic and you can sit in. Like, this is something that we have the power to do, and we have the power to stand up to the administration. We have the power to stand up to cops, and no, cops are not on our side. I mean, I'm an anarchist, so I want this to snowball into like Montreal 2012, but like college Dems per se, and like some of the more like lefty but somewhat more moderate groups are maybe not going to share that vision, which like that's fine. What we all are agreeing on though is that, you know, white supremacy has existed at the University of Michigan since the very beginning. We're on stolen land. White supremacy has always been around here. Like, black students at the University of Michigan face so much like fucked up stuff from like administration and from students. They had a week of action actually like much earlier in the year, like September or October, where they had, just like us, they had like an event every day protesting a lot of like the fucked up shit that was happening on campus. And so, you know, even if U of M by some holy miracle denies Spencer's request, The movement definitely, like, is not going to fizzle out. Knock on wood, but, like.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very inspiring to hear. Thanks for sharing. And for those listening, you can go on to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, check the hashtag Stop Spencer. Speaking of social media, though, there were reports on the Facebook for Stop Spencer, and we reported on this as well, that Facebook took down
they took down an event
on Wednesday for the walkout. Do you just want to talk a little bit about that?
You're a bootlicker, Zuck.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. We had like a couple theories that like maybe because our page was new and it got so many likes so fast, like Facebook's algorithm might have thought that it was spam and they deleted it.
The Russians
were
behind
the
wall.
Or they thought that it was like a bot or something, but like, I don't know. Whatever. We put it back up is what it is. People showed up anyways.
Hmm. Wow. But that's definitely a sign of, you know, things that have happened in the past, but, you know, will probably continue to happen more. You know, one last question. There was an article that came out in Newsweek today about comments that have been made by the Department of Homeland Security, where they were saying that FBI and DHS was going to start investigating people for Antifa ideology. I'm just curious your thoughts about that.
I mean, what else is new? We did have somebody talk to us who has consistently like been at the meetings and has been contributing a lot, who has had a lot of experience with like state repression.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm going to say about that person because like pretending I didn't in like XYZ, but, he did talk to us about that and saying like, you know, we can't be too careful. We have to use Signal. We have to be like very, very cautious about how we go about this and don't say names. Nobody wants to know who did what. And we've been really careful as far as like watching each other's backs. If Spencer comes, we're going to try to be very, very organized about like how we respond to it. Cause I mean, like if some like Great Lakes Antifa asshole comes up and decides that they want to be a meme and like punch somebody and it's just like, and now everybody's implicated like J20 or some shit. Like, I don't know. We are being careful though. We are being like mindful of that. And as far as like the whole Antifa thing, like Antifa ideology, anti-fascist ideology. Okay. All right.
Sounds okay. Like something straight out of Alex Jones or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's really inspiring just watching you all, you know, just stand up for yourselves. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything more than that. Just people coming together and standing up for themselves and asserting their own power, asserting themselves again in the face of these institutions, which really are just, you know, allowing this thing to happen. But thanks for talking with us. Anything else you want to say or any resources or people you want to give a shout out to, you want to talk about?
I just wanted to say that I've never seen like U of M organizing like this. Again, like with the diversity of tactics thing, like we are a pretty big coalition. So we have like, say, College Dems doing their thing, flyering, being amazing, and talking to like elected officials. Some people are like, okay, well, that's not really my style of like how we want to affect change. But you know what? Like, go for it. Go for it. Yeah. And if people want a wheat paste or people want to actually, it was really funny. Some people, I guess, who supported the cause got super creative and made like headstones out of like paper and like wooden sticks, and we're like, RIP student safety, RIP like leaders in the best, RIP like you know, students, like stuff like that, and some really clever remarks about like stuff that the university like was not doing to take action against it, and they like stuck them in President Schlissel's front lawn at like some unholy hour of the morning and dipped. And so like cute vandalism like that. And people are being really respectful of diversity of tactics, and people are showing strong solidarity with one another, even though there's just such a wide array of ideologies and groups. And I think it's cool.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, keep your eyes on the Stop Spencer hashtag, and best of luck to you all out there. Thank you for tuning in to the It's Going Down podcast and audio reports of frontline struggles. If you like what you hear, please share this podcast with a friend, a coworker, comrade, and on social media.
go to iTunes and rate us. Also, we are having a winter fundraiser to cover operating costs and launch ourselves into 2018 even stronger than ever. But we need your help to do it. IGD has grown a lot this year, but without the support of the people that contribute, read, and listen to it every day, we can't continue. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop for ways to donate and gifts that you can buy for yourself and friends. We have a goal right now of reaching $5,000 over the next month. Please donate. We're already halfway there, but we need your help to get to the finish line. Thanks a lot for listening. We can't wait to see you next time.